Blog Talk Radio.
Hello again. Welcome to Coaching Conversations. This is Sean Schakowsky, your life coach. And once again, we have the coaching crew. We have August Shields, our dream builder, creative coach, life coach. How are you, August?
Really well. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me again.
Awesome. And we have Moni Visco, our life coach, empowerment coach, and she does have background in divorce coaching. So say hello to Moni. How are you, Moni?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Awesome. And our intern who came up with the topic today. Hi, Kay. Kay, I'm so bad with pronouncing names. Chamberlain.
Yes.
Hi, Kay. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay, before we roll into the conversation, just a few standard announcements. First off, phone line 657-383-1996. And anything you hear today or information that maybe may intrigue you, you can reach out and connect to any of us through our coaching website, which is wnylifecoaching.com. Quick announcement. This weekend is a big festival in Buffalo, Western New York. It's the Earth Spirit Expo. Western Life Coaching will have a booth there, and I'm actually doing a talk which can correlate to what we're talking about today, so it's perfect timing. So come on down. My talk's at 4 o'clock on Saturday, and it's all held at Michael's Banquet Facility, and you can check that online, which is at, again, wnylifecoaching.com. Also, on our site, there are essential oil classes coming up through the center, and you can find more information on that. Okay. So, guys, anything happening since last week you want to share? Anything? Anyone
just
get their hair done? What's that, August?
Just crazy weather in Virginia Beach. It was cold yesterday. It snowed last night. The snow is almost melted now, but we're waiting for another 8 inches tonight. It's just ping pong weather. It's crazy, but it's funny.
Welcome to Buffalo.
Yeah.
I said you never know what you get. You can't really get
all
bored in Buffalo. I mean, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I guess I don't mean to cut you off.
No, just all four seasons in one day again. It's crazy.
Yeah, we live in extreme weather here. I actually, Moni and guys, I heard the birds chirping, but there's 4 feet of snow.
I know. I heard them chirping last week, actually, when I was bringing my garbage cans at, like, 6:30 in the morning, and I heard birds chirping. I was like, oh, my God, it's so nice. Maybe there's such little signs of spring.
That something's living. This is hey, I'm like, we don't have to worry about bugs and insects. They're done. I mean, it was a hard winter here in Buffalo. But, yeah, sign of hope. I heard chirping, and I am manifesting spring in my mind here. So,
absolutely.
Awesome. You guys ready for the task at hand where you're going to talk about how to build self-worth? And I have to thank our intern. I asked her to come up with a topic this week. And, Kate, this is what you came up with, right? How did you
– Yes.
How did you – what drew you to that topic? Can you share anything or anything that interests you?
Yeah. I guess, like, a lot of people, not even just younger people, but I see it in a lot of older adults, just kind of lose their sense of importance to themselves and just their purpose for being here. And I think it's important for people to learn how to recognize their self-worth and know how to find it again. So.
Excellent. And you know what I love? Find it again. It's there, people. It's there. It's not something I truly believe it's something that we sometimes quiet, put the volume down real low, and this is what I love. We're going to reference an article too to help us along, but it really is a step-by-step guide to getting in touch again with yourself. Guys, do you have any thoughts? Moni, I know you're pretty passionate about empowering people, and I think it comes back. I think you can relate a lot of your inner power through your process of divorce, correct?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I just think self-worth is underlying key to everything. I mean, it's your key to happiness, and I agree. It's never, we're born with it inherently. We are born with self-worth, the knowledge that we are worthy in spite of everything. We're kind of it's almost like it's learned to
for your self-worth to be reduced because we start attaching it to things outside of ourselves, and that's a learned behavior.
It is. And, you know, and again, I think we've talked about it, you know, the tendency to look outside ourselves is obviously out of survival expectations that are put on us. But there is, and actually when I coach kids through yoga, I coach the little ones, and when they come in and I look in their eyes, there's such a genuine, natural state, closeness of our beginning, you know, that inner knowing
mm-hmm.
of self-worth. And
mm-hmm.
I can see it. And as we, you know, adulthood and how we lose that, knowing, I think it's more of a knowing, and that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Yes, of really your sense of self, and I'm very passionate about that. And I'll dive in some tools at the right time in this conversation. I don't want to upfront everybody, but I think I think this is an interesting topic for everybody to draw out of. So let's start. I'm going to facilitate. I know I end up talking a lot, so I'm going to throw the floor out to you guys. But the first, I'm going to give us a header here. And I know they say the first kind of step, if you want to, you know, build your self-worth, or if you're scrambling, wondering, because I do, you know, in coaching, I have a lot of people come in confused. And I think where and this gets into the article, I know people have a tendency to want someone to analyze them and tell them what's wrong. But like in coaching, guys, I think this is why we do coaching, is truly what we try to do is have you self-reflect and find it.
Mm-hmm.
Find, because that is what, it's in there. But we have
mm-hmm.
A tendency, and I think that's why people are confused and lose their purpose and tend to, you know, look for other people to guide us in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely. No, I agree, because I think as in coaching, sometimes when you ask that question and it hits right to that sense of the feeling of unworthiness, and oftentimes it's like the tears start coming. I mean, sometimes it's a very simple question, but it hits right there where they have this inherent sense that they're not worthy, that they're not enough or whatever, and through that coaching process that they, number one, realize that, and then like you said, Sean, with the tools to be able to find it again.
Right, self-worth. Right. Yeah, and I love how this is the word they put it, because what I tried to say is that, you know, sometimes a lot of people end up going, you know, life circumstances, looking for people help, you know, unless you have like a serious disorder. But most of our uncertainty and lack of purpose really doesn't need, again, like we're saying, to be analyzed by someone else. What it is, you know, your self-analysis to recognize, and I love this word, that you're sometimes shortchanging yourself. I love when
yeah.
they say that. It's such to me that, like, ding, you know, it's not problematic. Hey, you're the one shortchanging yourself. You're underestimating your ability here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we as coaches, just like as in athletics, somebody comes in or, you know, wants to get better at playing a sport, well, we're going to practice it, draw it out. Look at your potential to try to step forth and acquire a new task. So, then they just to get us going, some questions to get us thinking, you know, that when you are questioning your self-worth, some questions you can ask is, what have I experienced so far in life? People are like, okay, what does that have to do? No, where have you come? What have you done? You know, what have you drawn out?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at the person in there
mm-hmm.
and how you are becoming aware of how you are interacting in the world. But I don't want to go too deep, so we'll come back to that, circle around. But let's start simple. I think they say, you know, to start building your self-worth is really getting your head straight. It's the power of your attitude towards yourself. Ooh, ding, ding. I think that's
ding,
very
ding.
Good.
Yes.
mm-hmm. Let's go there with that. Really,
yeah,
how you start.
I mean, Yeah, it's interesting, because I think many people have, it's like that negative self-talk, and how they, you know, what do they say to themselves about themselves, which is much more harsh than what they would say to other people or a friend or, you know,
mm-hmm.
if somebody else was having the same issue, they wouldn't talk to a friend the way they talk to themselves.
Absolutely.
Right. And, you know, what's this is like a really deep level of that, to get you to look at that talk. You know, I don't know if you guys, I read a book by, and I'm going to credit it to Michael Singer, it's The Untethered Soul,
mm-hmm.
an incredible
mm-hmm.
book. That
yes, definitely, yes.
There's talk in our mind, in our head all the time. I mean, and in the book it says, seriously, quiet it down right now. If you could say, you know, all of us take a second and be like, say hello in your mind. Nope. Okay, I think we all did it. Now say it louder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not the talk, but we're becoming aware of that talk. That person
mm-hmm.
is the person becoming aware. So
mm-hmm.
all this talk, positive, it's getting a perspective of looking at that talk. And then I think that's step one, because you can really become mindful of that talk. And
yeah,
that's like,
and realize you're not the talk. You know, you're not your thoughts. Like
yeah.
it's that separation between mm-hmm. you and your thought. And that distance that you can create is the first step.
It is.
That's
pretty heavy.
That's heavy.
But
it's
I recommend that book. Anyone on this journey that is this conversation is you know, resonating with you, that book is really, I thought it was really the way
that
he writes it. Yeah, it can make you practice it while you read the book. It's incredible. But yeah, how you perceive, how you talk. So guess what? You know, there's like in the book too. Like there, you're in there. There's a roommate in there. Talk nice to that person.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Start seeing yourself as valuable. Because we all are, each and every
mm-hmm.
one of us. Anyone listening, I don't know if you think otherwise, realize that was talk outside of you. You know, within us, we all are here for a purpose. We're all valued
mm-hmm.
human beings. And it's time that you start recognizing your abilities, your skills, your traits, and your purpose here. But it's there. It's there. Folks?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think somewhere along the line, sometimes we think we're, like, at times unequal to other people. I see that sometimes, you know, in relationships, this, and this. I think Eleanor Roosevelt is, I can quote her, too, but she made this profound quote about, you know, you're letting yourself not be unequal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All
perspectives. Yeah, I mean, I think it's that knowing, you know, your inherent value is no different than any other human being on the planet. There's
mm-hmm.
no difference in your inherent value.
There isn't.
And if you can start, you know, everything you do from that place, then your world will change.
Absolutely will.
And this rolls into, like, the next, you know, they have some steps and how to, you know, build self-worth. And this one's funny because this came up with my husband and I. I think I was with my children, and I don't know how it came up, but I think it was maybe the drama with the friends or something like that. And I said to my kid, I said, you know, you're your own best friend. And my husband looked at me like that was, like, the bizarrest statement I ever said. And I'm like, no. I mean, like, I truly believe I'm my own best friend. But that
mm-hmm.
is the beginning of coming to a place of self-love.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in coaching, I see quite a bit of that self-care, self-love. It's as I see how it diminishes sometimes in people's lives. But it's okay to be your own best friend. It is. Like, some people think it's narcissistic. No. I mean, it is not. Self-love is, probably, you know, you understanding your own needs and wants beneath those of others, or you know, from in reflection of others, that is not selfish. You know, that's not selfish. Mm-mm.
I think the distinction is between, like, a narcissistic person that I think their value is based on things outside of themselves, it, you know, if they dress well or they look good or they have a lot of money or whatever. Whereas what you're talking about, that true inner knowing of self-worth, is not attached to anything outside of yourself, and it's unchanging in spite of your outside circumstances.
Well said.
Yep. And they write it here. They say, self-love is about treating yourself with the same care, tolerance, generosity, and compassion as you would treat a special friend.
Mm-hmm.
A world of, I do see people hard on themselves a lot. I don't know, you know, I'm not going to analyze why. But
that's a whole other
I think, you know, Kate, you're in the midst of more of the, you know, college and the expectations and making your way. Mm-hmm. And I really sometimes don't envy some of the circumstances out there for some, especially too, I guess, like to stress the importance of really self-worth and self-love. It truly mm-hmm. is an inner compass. And actually, that goes rolls into the next topic about how you can honor your self-worth. And they say really is to trust your own feelings. Money, we've done workshops getting people to feel and stop. And I have so many people I coach. Whether tell me what you feel, and then they start talking from their mind, telling me what mm-hmm. they're thinking. I'm like, no, I want to know how mm-hmm. what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
People are so out of tune of feelings. They just won't feel, or they have a very hard time quieting and feeling. But
they're not coming from their heart at all, mm-hmm. and that's where the answers are.
It is. You know, to listen and rely on your own feelings and not automatically respond to the feelings of other people, it's probably a little scary at first for folks, but that's, you know, I'm big on, you know, helping people develop their inner knowing. And once you kind of lock in and trust your inner knowing and your intuition, what a great little friend that is.
mm-hmm.
It really is.
I think they mentioned
in turning
here,
up the volume.
It is. So let me ask you this. Why do you think people are afraid to feel?
I think it's because they don't want to feel pain. And I think that there's a lot of underlying pain if they haven't been feeling that they've depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's scary for people to go there. And that our society sort of, I mean, that's a whole other topic, but it kind of promotes that, you know, instant gratification, seeking pleasure, you know, instead of pain. And, you know, our society facilitates that stuff too. So that's the reason I think people don't want to feel, because it scares them.
I 100% agree with you, but go ahead, August. Mm-hmm, your thoughts?
No, I had an interesting conversation about why, and I just came out and I said, why are you afraid to express how you really, really feel? And she said, honestly, I think it's because if I express how I feel right now, it's going to open the door to Pandora's box, and I just don't have the energy to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just fear of the feelings getting out of control and controlling them mm-hmm. rather than them controlling the feelings. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's just fear
mm-hmm.
and insecurity. And I love how it started with the volume is turned all the way down, and these are steps to start turning the volume up, becoming aware. I loved it. You know, just because you can't hear it very clearly doesn't mean it's not there. You're just not, the volume's not turned up. And as we start
mm-hmm.
turning the volume up, the feelings become stronger. We get more in touch with who we are and how important we are, and that we absolutely have a place in this world, and the world needs us.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I think emotions are meant to move, you know, they're energy and motion. And people don't realize if you can allow yourself to feel them, and if you can process them in a healthy way, they'll move through you. You know, you're not going to be stuck with them. Like they're not, that's not how it works. So that's, But I think people are afraid. And I think, Sean, like when we did that workshop and we had, you know, one of the people there that just asking the question, and you could see that she didn't want to go deeper because she was afraid.
Yep.
Yes.
But once you touch that, I want to say it sensitively, but people are fearful of pain and uncomfort. Obviously, August 2, we did dream building to make changes in our life. There is your reality to a new reality, and it's a gap in between. And it's so scary to people, you know, just stepping out of making a path to something new. But again, I think I heard this as a child when I was young. The fear is just the unknown. You know, once it's for, you know, once you go there, then it's not unknown anymore. What they bring up here is to help people to, you know, there's to overcome it. Obviously, there's coaches. Sometimes we need to give ourselves pep talks. I love that word. We always say affirmation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We always
say mm-hmm. I love pep talk. It's so cool. And then I guess the other thing I wanted to mention, where is it, that they say, it is awareness. It is inching towards coming closer to your feelings. But also they say you need to take some responsibility. know
yes.
that you're in charge here. You can drive the car. I love that. What also with the self, this all correlates to self-worth, but they're saying, you know, a lot of times people do blame other people for where they are in life.
Mm-hmm.
I get that a lot, but it keeps you stuck. For anyone out there too,
mm-hmm.
who I got a lot, I'm just so stuck. When you're stuck, you are like, giving your power. You know, you have that power. We have to get you to use that power again. Make those choices. Keep going. You guys can help me with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I read that and I was just like, wow, yeah. I see. You know, blaming people. Blaming is not the answer, because nobody can tell you how you are, how you feel, but yourself. You know,
right.
people
exactly.
can make circumstances difficult for you. They can make it difficult. I do, and sometimes we do have to have some fortitude to go forward. But again,
mm-hmm.
They can never, ever take away your worth. Only yourself can allow that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the blame,
exactly.
I say, you know, how does it serve you? Just ask that question, and I don't think they would find any productive reason to hold on to the blame.
Right.
Because
right.
it doesn't
yes.
serve in any way. I mean, it's like, you know, that whole old question, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Like, we're not, you know, yes, the person might have done something that wasn't nice or hurtful or betrayal or whatever it was. We're not, but how does judging it or rehashing it or continuing to blame that person, it keeps you stuck.
It does. When I read that, I was like, oh, I wish I had that quote earlier. it's pretty much, it says blame implies that someone or something else has the power that you lack.
Mm-hmm.
And that if that they're saying when you blame, you're giving up a little bit. No, you know, don't blame people. You know, you have, you know, you and they say, what have they got to do with the perfectly well-informed thinking matter inside your mind? They can't do anything there, you know. That's your realm.
And
we
you
can shift our,
you know, you can, like Maya Angelou, I have that quote on my website. If you don't like something, change it. If you can't change it, change your attitude.
Yeah,
I mean that's
profound.
Yep, because you're in control.
Yep, exactly. They say they may have, and I brought this up, they may have made things difficult for you, but you can understand that without using it as an excuse to reduce your self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that goes on may go on, but it should not lower your self-worth, you know. Be a witness to it, a witness to what's going on. I think I used that word with my husband. He's like, oh, you know, when you can start witnessing, watching, and then, you know, okay, that's there, you know, that's what's going on. Hello, and it's boundary setting too, but, you know, you can witness it. You can, but you don't have to be it. And they do talk about being present. Being present helps with self-worth. Monique, I think we even said a lot of people have a hard time just quieting down, getting in touch with yourself. Why is it so uncomfortable? Why is it uncomfortable to take a look at yourself inside, you know? It's a practice, folks, you know.
Well, it's also a habit, a pattern, you know. You've been doing your whole life looking outside of yourself, and it's scary to look at yourself sometimes.
Yep.
It is.
I do these video clips too. They're called my coaching chalk talks. They'll be coming out, but I just did one, and it comes to this next section about working on your resilience is a huge part of self worth. And in my little chalk talk, I was talking about when I was 16, I got on my bike and I rode over to my friend's house, my 10 speed bike, and so when I was riding. Kid you not, I don't know out of where, but I wiped out. I mean, I ended up in a ditch.
Oh,
boy. But I remember looking around, watching if anyone's watching me, and I was kind of, you know, embarrassed. And I had a choice. You know, I could have stayed in that ditch and wowled and said, oh, look at me, or wait for somebody to come pull me out of that ditch. But instead, you know what I did? I chuckled at myself, got up, brushed myself off, and said, hey, I'm going to hop back on that bike, and I went to my friends. And with this little story, what taught me at an early age is that, you know, I may in life veer off and get dumped in a ditch, but guess what? Now I know that I can get up and get back on my bike and keep riding. I did it once. I could do it again. So a lot of this, too, you know, if things go off course, you know, try to have the fortitude to get back on. Realize it's building your self-confidence. And teaching resilience, because you do have to be resilient in life. You know, there's times, like, you know, we're low. You know, we gotta bounce back up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Mary Morrissey says this about like babies or, you know, little toddlers that are learning how to walk, and that it goes back to the knowing of their self worth. You know, when they fall down a million times, they don't say, "Oh my God, I'm stupid. I'm never going to learn how to walk. I'm just giving it up right now." You know what I mean? Like, they don't do that.
Yes.
So
yes, they don't.
You know what it's like they are in touch with that self. They don't have the critical. I mean, obviously, they don't have the cognitive ability to speak, but still, it's that. We have to kind of learn from that and apply it even to ourselves as adults, because whatever you do is not you. I mean, it's something that you did. So if you fail at something, it, again, is not an indication of your self-worth. What you did might have not been successful, but that doesn't mean you're a failure.
Right.
Exactly.
Again, it's the separation, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, it is. Mm-hmm.
Between you and your actions, you and your thoughts.
Well, they always, you know, this human experience is like a giant classroom, folks. I always say that.
Yes, it is.
If we can look at it that way, you know, there's a soul in you that loves to learn and grow. All these things, these characters in life, they're, you know, look at it that way, you know. What can you learn from all this stuff? Okay, believe it or not, we're out of time, and there's so much more we could have talked about this.
I know.
But it's good stuff, good stuff. You know, follow your feelings, folks out there, you know. Okay, well, we're going to wrap it up, but if you are out there, if any of this resonates, you want to work with a coach, have any questions, reach out at wnylifecoaching.com. Thank you, folks. Always a pleasure to have you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you again.
Okay, stay warm, and we will see everyone next week. I believe we'll have a guest speaker, but I will keep you tuned on that. but remember, the power's from within. Take care, everybody.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.